Let's turn back again to our text that we will be considering this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. And we read in verse 21 and 22, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now this passage that we will be looking at this morning teaches some things about personal prayer. But it also teaches us some things about ourselves. Jesus went out of his habitat to the north of Judea to a place called Tyre and Sidon. This is very interesting. And this is meant to show us that the Lord's ministry extends beyond the four walls of the church. He went out to the north. But you and I can learn something from the Lord's actions that we have read. And gospel hardness often caused the Lord to withdraw himself. I think it was J.C. Ryle in his devotion that mentioned this. The Lord had just faced opposition from the Pharisees who chided with him and his disciples for not upholding the traditions of the elders. Here we are told that the Lord moved from beyond Jerusalem, where we would see him dealing with this woman. And whenever you read about the Lord departing from Jerusalem, geographically, yes, that's true. But we should pay attention to this. Because at times, like as I said, the hardness of the Lord's people sometimes causes him to depart and go elsewhere. And you and I should consider this. You know, the famous saying is, familiarity often breeds contempt for the Word of God. So don't take small mercies for granted. Our first lesson that we can capture shows that prayer has no limitations, no boundaries. The Lord went out of his way and met one who was outside the realm of grace, this woman. And anyone with a sense need can pray just like this one. We also can bring others to God's throne. And this woman cried on behalf of her daughter. And the church should pay attention, because we should be crying on behalf of our daughters. And I use the word daughters in a figurative sense, which comprise of men, women, boys and girls. And we can follow the footsteps of this woman who cried on behalf of her daughter. As a congregation, we are called to pray for our people. And we should not be taking anything for granted. James said, "We have not because we ask not." Many are eager and ready to stand and raise their voices on behalf of the lost sons and daughters of the church. But too many are never ready to stand and raise their voices for their brethren in the church. So we can learn something from this first point I'm making. Prayer has no limitations. This woman rightly identified the source of her daughter's problem. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Until we see who is afflicting our people, we would not come to God. As a matter of fact, we would use all other means to cure spiritual sickness. She was vexed with the devil. The people in Africa have this thing about them, brother, that some people are demon possessed, you know. What they don't understand, that if a person isn't converted, they are demon possessed. They are controlled, they are led by the devil. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are different manifestations of one who is possessed by the devil, because God restrains sin in people. But if man was left to himself, he would not only destroy himself, destroy everything around him. And we should be thankful for the limitations that God, the restraint that God has put in our lives. And you see all kinds of crazy things going on in New York City. But until we see who is the one that is afflicting our people, we would not come to God seriously. Only when we see the spiritual battle the church faces, we would pray. And until you and I see that there is an enemy that we cannot handle, we wouldn't come. We wouldn't come to the Lord Jesus like this woman. We would find every other means for help. But those means that are prescribed by the Word of God. So prayer has no limitations. The Bible says, I exhort that supplications and prayers be made for all men, all kinds of men. It's a lesson the Lord's people can learn from this woman this morning, who was outside the borders of Jerusalem. Just because people are found in the church, it doesn't mean that they are not to some degree like this woman. She was outside of grace. Another thing we can learn from the context of this passage is just because Jesus is silent does not mean that he is deaf. Verse 23, we read, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. At times the Lord might be silent when we pray, but rest assured he is hearing. And this is a promise that believers have. The unbeliever doesn't have any guarantee that God would answer their prayers, you know. If you listen to the media carefully, you would think everybody's a child of God. You hear them saying, our prayers are, you hear me say this all the time, because it drives me nuts. Our prayers will be with you. And meanwhile, these people are living like the devil in hell. Who are they praying to? So don't buy into that. But just because, brethren, Jesus might be silent as you pray, don't think that he is deaf. He hears us. The Bible says that the Lord's eyes are over the righteous and his prayers are open to their prayers. And this has to do with the believer, because the plural word is used. The Lord eyes is open to the righteous. His prayers are open to their prayers, which is plural. But here, we see the Lord was silent, but he wasn't deaf. And verse 23b says, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And by the way, could it be that the disciples were a little too protective of the Lord Jesus? that's possible. But you and I can be like the disciples. We can send people away who are approaching the Lord Jesus. We can be like them. And there are different ways we can send people away from approaching the Lord Jesus. We can send others away when we cease the prayer. But my point is being made here that at times the Lord might be silent when we pray. We might be praying for something for a very long time and having not received an answer to that prayer. But it doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus' ears is not attentive to your prayers. And that's why your prayers should be persistent, like this woman. And this is what the point we are making, the persistence of prayer. Yeah, that verse I quoted to you was from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we must also remember that the unbeliever has no basis to prayer, has no merit in his prayer, according to this verse. If the face of the Lord is against them that are practicing evil, how are their prayers going to be accepted? And many have taken this verse to mean what Jesus did not mean, as we consider the next verse, which says in verse 24, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Many people have taken this verse to mean what it does not mean. And I would briefly touch on this for a minute or so. It is as if the Lord here is not interested in the prayer of this woman who is interceding on behalf of her daughter. But I don't think so. It is as if she was beyond the hope of salvation when he said, I am not sent. Because this woman is from Tyre and Sidon to the north. It is as if she was beyond the hope of salvation. But this verse cannot mean that Jesus' ministry was only to those in Israel. If this was true, why was Jesus at the well talking to a Samaritan woman? And she came to know the Savior in a glorious way. So this cannot be true that Jesus' ministry wasn't extended to the lost people. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to this earth through the bloodline of Rahab. So sometimes we get tantalized in saying things that we don't have any support for saying. Cannot mean that at all. Sometimes popular interpretations of the Bible are not necessarily correct. I've picked up books and I've read that. And you probably read it too. But Jesus didn't come to minister beyond Palestine. True, he limited himself in his location. But at times he went beyond. And it's a lesson that is being taught. But when we understand who are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, we will understand what Jesus is teaching. It so happened that this woman, this Gentile woman, was one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It depends on which Israel you are considering in your interpretation. So let me square that away. As a matter of fact, Israel is not confined to national Israel, but all who God has named to be given to his son. Remember Galatians 2:3? It's neither Jew nor Greek. It's neither bond nor free. neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So be careful how you interpret the words of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, do not see men from an ethnic eye. Like you and I see men from an ethnic eye. But he see all men as needy, needy sinners like this woman. So just because Jesus doesn't seem to be answering our prayer, he hears. If you are a child of God, he hears. But we see finally in this thought, persistence in prayer. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, verse 24 continues in 25 and 26, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Evidently, this seemed to be an insult to this woman. And she really was a dog, a Gentile dog, by definition. But it may seem like an insult to you, but it is not really an insult. Dogs was a term in those days to describe unconverted Gentile people. They were known as uncircumcised dogs, cut off from the promises. But you remember in Philippians 3 how Paul turned the tables around and said to the Philippians, beware of dogs, talking to the Jews. In other words, the Gentiles now become the children of God, and the unbelieving Jews become dogs. And Paul says, beware of dogs. Beware of the circumcision or the concision. And then he says, for we are the circumcision. So, you know, brethren, scripture has to be interpreted in scripture. Otherwise, we fall into a mess. It is believed that Jesus was testing this woman's faith to see if she was genuine. He knew her need. And at times, the Lord tests our faith by saying some very hard things to us. And this may have been the case with this woman as he tests her faith to see if it was genuine. And he knew her need, and he stood ready to meet her need. And yet, by the way, this is the character of the gospel. And God has some very hard things to say to us. And those who are genuine, and those who are genuinely seeking salvation would not be offended at hard statements. But the psalmist says, great peace to them that love thy law. Nothing should offend them. I wouldn't suggest that we call people dogs today. But no matter. When the word of God is offensive to people, if you find that the word of God is rubbing you the wrong way, you should not take offense. Verse 27 and 28, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, these last verses, especially the one that says, O woman, great is thy faith, Jesus knew this before. And that is why she came, because God had given her that faith to come in this fashion. Of course, we remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, who desired to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, and this woman here is citing something similar. Even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And this is a tremendous statement. But even though these words, brethren, may be figurative in meaning, dogs eat from the crumbs of the rich man's table. Yeah, it's true in a sense, but we must always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the rich man. And at his disposal, there are many, many blessings. Christ is the rich man, but he offers more than crumbs. He offers the bread of life. If there is a message for the church today, we as a church ought to be beseeching God for our people. Not necessarily our daughters, our people. We also need to be persistent in doing that. We pause and we pray, make a couple of prayer requests this morning. But we ought to be persistent. Our sons and daughters are not limited to children in our church, but adults. And we need to pray. And as this woman's daughter was tormented by Satan, he is the god of this world. Mm. And he keeps people in darkness. Mm-hmm. That's why we ought to pray. And we ought to be persistent in our prayers for our people. And just because the Lord may be silent, we don't see any immediate answer to our prayers, it doesn't mean he's deaf. And we should continue to pray. And we should continue to come to the stated times of prayer. And to raise our voices to pray when we are called upon. Just like this woman. Remember what the disciples did, sent her away. And we must be careful that we are not sending people away from praying by the way we behave in the church. We must be careful. So this passage of scripture that we have considered is rich in its meaning and its applications. Prayer knows no limitations. Remember that. And that's why we should be praying for the people in Zimbabwe and other parts of the world. Prayer knows no limitations. His ears are not closed to our prayers. And we ought to be regular in our prayers. Sometimes we have these requests that we give on Tuesday night, but they're not only limited for Tuesday evening. They're not limited. We should pray for these things all the time. So just this thought this morning on the persistence of this woman in prayer, even though she was beyond the walls of Jerusalem. Let us be persistent as we pray. Amen.